This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 292 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne from HowCrookWasGlyn.com, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Bruce, are you there, Bruce? You'll have to speak a bit louder.
I'm here. Are you here?
I'm in my deathbed, Bruce.
That's no good.
No, I'm a fair degree better than I was last week, my friend.
Well, that's good to hear.
I was exceptionally unwell last week.
Yeah, and, right.
So I'm still going to cough and sputter all the way through the podcast.
Yeah, right.
But I'm considering where I was very lucky though, because I started feeling sick Friday week ago.
Right.
And that was when I was flying up to Brisbane to run workshops.
Oh, Jesus.
I started getting this headache.
Yeah.
And the headache lasted, in the end, it lasted over 150 hours.
Yikes.
So all day Friday traveling, I'm feeling just as horrible. Could have had a look at the light in this head.
Ooh.
Then sat down to run a workshop and be peppy and happy and everything, and just this migraine all day long.
Ow.
Saturday night, I was by myself. I was staying with some friends, but they were out. And I went off. I was really kind of weird and spacey and sort of dizzy and could hardly stand up and didn't feel like myself at all.
Yeah, right.
Sunday had to run a workshop again. Yeah, still through this headache.
Yeah.
Finished the workshop, straight to the airport, straight in a plane home. Woke up Monday morning, couldn't move.
Wow.
I had a 42 degree temperature.
Wow.
I had a plus 40 degree temperature for almost 4 days.
Wow.
To the point where it reduced my kidney function.
Wow, that's bad.
Got kidney damage.
What?
Yeah, from the temperature, because I was so sick I couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah, right.
Get to the docks. So this is school holidays. My wife's at work. I've got both kids home. Yeah, 3 and 7.
Yeah.
And Dad can't get off the bed.
Wow.
From 8 in the morning till like 6 at night, they're just running feral through the house,
yeah, right.
Having to feed themselves, clean themselves, dress them, do everything. I could not do a damn thing. Wow. It took me 4 days to get well enough to get out of bed to go to the doctors.
Jeez.
And it was good because finally my fever had gone, so I was feeling good. So I went to the doctors and said, look, I haven't been able to come because I've had this really bad fever, but I'm feeling much better now. And she does the temp. Oh, you've only got a 39.2. But where compared to where I've been, it was much cooler and much better.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so his headaches went on, and it was just a bad cold.
Wow.
But my poor daughter's got it now. My poor 8-year-old's got it now. So
I was going to say, you can sort of take solace in the knowledge that flying home on the aeroplane on Sunday night, you spread it around another 150 people.
I aimed at the vents. I popped into the vents wherever I could. Yeah.
Oh.
Make stuff. The woman was asleep next to me. I was kind of leaning my sweated brow on her head. Rub. Yeah. But I hear you've got a headache yourself now.
It's just come on tonight.
That's not a good sign. So mine started. So my wife started. So yeah. my 3-year-old got it first. Then my wife got it. Then I got it. And my 8-year-old. So it's very virulent.
Yeah, right.
And mine started with a headache. And hers started with a headache. And my 3-year-old headache.
Don't tell me that.
But other than that, how you been?
You're good. Good, other than that, yeah.
How did last week's podcast go?
Yeah, good. Good, well, I got all technical.
No, I'm asking the listeners.
I got all technical because you weren't here.
I'm asking the listeners. I'd like to apologise for last week's episode now. You just hit the delete button, guys. You don't have to complete this. You don't have to the whole set. I was going to text you whilst I knew you were recording.
Right.
I was going to send insults and shut up, Bruce. It's I thought that'd be kind of funny, you know.
Yeah.
But at least you got one out. That's the important thing. Yeah. You got one out.
So the Pass the Camera project is proceeding nicely.
Yes, it's passed, I hear.
It's been passed on again, yes. Just like a flu virus.
Just everyone gets a coughs on it. Pass on to the next person.
We should have included a box of alcohol wipes along with the camera. Each person can wipe it down.
Next one. Speaking of the camera project, I've got some bad news.
The
place in San Bernardino, San whatever it was, San Jose, no, San, I can't remember, it was Santa Barbara, that's the one,
right.
Doesn't do coffee developing anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, lack of interest.
Oh, okay.
So that's it. They'll send me the recipe.
Yeah.
But that involves me doing work, so that's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Oh, dear. So what do you got on your list this week?
Hey, I broke my computer screen on the way up to Brisbane as well. You know how I was having a week of break?
I think you did tell us that.
No, because I haven't recorded since we came back from Brisbane. No, I broke everything else. Remember, I mean, break the week.
Maybe
before,
I saw you mention it on Facebook then.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I've had a week of destroying things.
Yeah, right.
And then I broke my computer, then I broke myself.
Oh, geez.
But the Brisbane workshops were good. They had a weird little sort of inner city area, which turned out to be fabulous.
Yeah.
Never been there before, so you're taking a chance. You know, I Google Street driven the area and looked okay, but turned out really good. Two really good models, great group of people. Besides feeling crap, I had a great time.
Awesome. And both models showed up.
Yeah, both of them late, of course.
Yep. It's Brisbane, mate. They're an hour behind.
Well, at least they arrived, which is good.
For those listeners outside of Australia, we've just come out of daylight saving. But at the time that Glyn was up there, actually it would have been the morning that we'd come out of daylight saving.
No, it was the weekend before.
Oh, it was the weekend prior, yeah. So we were still in daylight saving.
But they're still 4 years behind.
What that means is that Victoria and New South Wales, where Glyn and I both live, are an hour ahead of Queensland, which doesn't have daylight saving. Go figure.
They still couldn't show up in time.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, they were good models, which is interesting. One was Colombian, and one was interesting looking. Yeah, well, unusual faces, kind of long face and strange cheek structure, and which is always a good thing.
Yeah, right.
We're going to whip through stuff today, so I'm just want to head back to my sick couch.
Fair enough.
And
I'm up for a short one, so yep.
So I've got. An interesting product I came across today.
Right.
It's called from a company called Venus Lens, which I've never heard of.
No.
Venus Lens. But they have this awesome-looking new macro flash.
Right.
And
my goodness.
Isn't that cool?
It's like it's got two Joby Gorilla Pods built into it.
It looks like it's a big bug.
It does.
I love it. It's just the weirdest-looking thing. But it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's a tool for be able to put your lights on whatever angle you want.
Yeah.
I just think it's just a seriously cool looking product.
Yeah. So there's
you do a lot of macro.
Yeah, so there's no standard flash head on the actual unit. There's
just these googly wooglies.
Yeah. That's funky.
That's great, isn't it?
What's the middle one, the one that's round?
I have no idea.
Right.
It might be some sort of sensor. Could be a suction cup.
Looks like another light. Maybe it's just a round.
It does look like just a light, doesn't it?
But then, so for those who aren't looking at this yet, definitely go and check out the show notes because the link will be there.
Your flash is called a Quang Ren.
Yes, and this thing, imagine the part of the speed light that you normally see the light come out of. There are two of those things, but they're on the ends of two like gorilla monopods that come out of the base unit. And then there's this third arm in the middle, which is just like a normal gooseneck like you'd have for a microphone, like you'd see in a courtroom or a parliament house, with a little round spotlight on the end of it. That's a funky-looking device. But that would be that'd be very good for macro work, because obviously you can rotate your monopod arms around and put the lights exactly where you want them and at whatever distance you want. That's awesome.
I think it's really clever.
Very clever.
So I just got distracted. I'm just typing a quick email to the Chinese company with the HDR time lapse camera.
Oh yeah,
I forgot. So I said, "Where's my review? Where's my review units, people?"
Chinese New Year's long gone.
Yeah, February 24.
Yeah. So about halfway through that collection of photographs, there's a close up of the little round light. It looks like the extension arm on the Daleks.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Exterminate.
There's some fabulous. If these shots were taken with the units, some fabulous. Fabulous stuff.
Nice way to get good wraparound light in a close context.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. They have vario length extension tubes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, zoom extension tubes. Just looking further down on their related products.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Oh, wow. Now I'm scrolling down and actually seeing some of the sample images.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yikes. That's awesome.
Seriously cool, isn't it?
Wow. So, and this is not a Kickstarter project or anything. No, this is actually
up and naturally running and...
279. I'm assuming that's Australian, or is that American? Or
it's got to be American because it's a Chinese site, so yeah. It's going to be an American pricing. Yeah, but we are currently expanding and establishing our global distribution networks. If you're interested in selling our products, please do not hesitate. Let us know.
Yeah, guide number of 190. Oh, that's in feet. So what's that? That's about
58.
Oh, okay, 58. Yeah. Oh yeah, there you go. GN58.
But that's over the two heads are ratioed already.
Right.
So you got like a 2/3, 1/3 power outlet puts each one, and that's combined power yep. output. So
compatible with Canon, Nikon, Sony A, Pentax cameras. There you go. Wow, that's cool.
So that was one of the things that that I found. So what in your extensive list have you got?
Well, there was only one thing that I came up with, but there are a couple of things from some of our listeners. The one thing that I came up with was there's this guy here in Australia. Now, you know I love shooting multi-image panoramas, right?
Yes, you do. It's one of your things.
This guy has taken that to a whole new level.
Really?
He's not shooting digital. He's shooting film, and he's shooting these images of buildings where he's using like a 24 exposure roll of film for each horizontal row of the image, but each image is comprised of around about 20 rolls of film where each roll's a horizontal row of pixels. So there's like 400 images, and it's all shot on film. So as he said, there is absolutely no room for error because the way he prints them, he doesn't cut the neg. He exposes the whole roll of film onto a strip of paper. Open up the link that I sent you and have a look at some of these images.
Sorry, I should send an email to that Chinese company asking for sample units of the flash gun too. Because if you're going to be a bear, you may as well be a grizzly.
That's true. So photographer uses hundreds of film negatives to create a single work. And it sounds like he's just dropped off the face of the planet. We're having issues with Skype tonight. I'll try getting him back. But yeah, this photographer is using hundreds of films.
That was the wrong button.
Yeah. What did you do?
Well, instead of hitting the link, I hit hung up.
Yeah. Nice one.
He's crap. This guy's crap. They're all wobbly. that building, that castle. It's like I could have built that castle with my own hands. What's that?
It looks like he's not using any form of leveling.
How bizarre.
But it's trippy.
What gets me,
is how long it would take to shoot that, and wouldn't the light change over the course of the time that it takes you to shoot 20 rolls of film?
You'd imagine.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to know how he's pulling that off. Hey?
You kind of ask yourself why.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's wasting how many rolls of film? The Eiffel Tower is an example.
Yeah.
He's wasting how many rolls of film on black shots of the black sky?
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess he's a purist.
No, he's not.
Well, as he said, it all starts with an idea, and then it's...
He's a lamb.
Yeah, a lamb?
Yeah, a lamb.
What's a lamb?
Look at me.
Right, okay. I just thought it was interesting. It's different. It is different.
Kind of cool indeed.
Yes. So anyway, Reg Vardy.
I've got to apologise to Reg.
Do you?
I do.
Had to be to somebody, yeah.
There's always someone every week. I said he was from Western Australia a couple of episodes ago for some bizarre reason.
Right.
I don't know why. He comes from Hobart.
Ah.
I know he comes from Hobart.
Why?
Well, because I do stuff down there. He's from the Hobart Photographic Society, and I've done a bunch of stuff down there with him.
Right.
I've no idea why I said it wasn't. It must have been the precursor to my man flu.
You were thinking of Robert Coates.
No.
No?
He's even West Australia, is he?
Yeah.
Ah.
So anyway. Reg put a link up on the Shutters Inc. page on Facebook. The behold the crazy capacity of a 512 gigabyte memory card. And this has just come out from Lexar. It's an 800 speed, half terabyte card, UDMA 7. And I think this is Jared from Frono's Photo, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, he put this into a Nikon D4S and he was able to get 13,800 16 megapixel raw files. Or by going to JPEG standard, 347,000 images on one card.
And as he puts it, that number into perspective,
yep.
The Nikon D4S has a shutter that's rated at 400,000 shots.
Yeah.
So by the time you fill the car, you've got to buy a new camera.
Pretty much.
Man.
But as I said on Facebook, I would never want to shoot with a card like that. I would much rather spread my shoot across multiple cards. Just for the whole eggs in one basket thing.
If you're doing video, I'm sure there's a use for it.
Well, I think that's exactly why, you know,
a use for
because
it
it's UDMA 7, it's designed to capture 4K video, you know.
Okay. I mean, 8K video, how much space is that going to take up? Well, I can tell you, twice as much as 4K video. Well, Rich puts up there, goes, how many photos can a 512 gigabyte card hold? And I put up twice as many as 256 gigabytes.
Sorry, just to pull you up there.
Yeah,
8K video, in theory, should be four times the quantity of a 4K video.
Shut up. Jesus, you nerds.
Somebody's got to keep you honest.
I'd like to apologize for Bruce. Just in general, not just for that. Why is 4K, why is 8K, isn't it just double 4K?
No.
Why?
Because the reference to 4K refers to the number
four times one.
It refers to the number of pixels across the horizontal axis of the frame.
Why did I ask?
I don't know. Why did you ask, Glenn? Tell me why you asked.
I'm sure people out there want to know.
So the point
Can
is,
you hear this noise?
No,
it's me banging my head. Oh, I've got gaffer tape.
Probably wishing you still had your gold.
Can you hear this noise?
No, can't hear that either. Oh, yeah, now I can hear it.
That's my gaffer tape. I'm putting it on my mouth. I'm not going to ask silly questions like that again.
Excellent. Much better. Now, Adam sent us a link as well on the... this was... The 65 most perfectly timed military photos you'll ever see.
Oh, man.
And some of these were absolute corkers.
Shaved in a week.
Some are funny. Some are just jaw-droppingly awesome. And, yeah, there's lots of things of cannons going off and, you know, you can see the projectile leaving the...
How do you know the shot with cannons? Oh, I see what you're talking about.
Have you opened up this link?
I'm just looking at it now.
Scroll down about the fifth or sixth photo. There's one of the Blue Angels flying over the Golden Gate Bridge, and the guy has managed to shoot along the length of the bridge, under the arch, and you can see the plane as it's sort of going right over the top of the bridge. That's cool.
What if you did it in one shot?
I'm guessing.
Wait for a click.
What?
Or do you reckon he burst shot?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I would suggest you. That's not one you'd want to do in burst mode because at the speed that plane would be moving, you could quite easily miss it in burst mode.
Mm.
I'd reckon you'd want to be sitting there with your camera lined up with your eye away from the camera so you can actually track the plane coming in with your eye and then just, you know, boom.
There's some cruelty to animals in these photos. Some bloke's throwing a dog out of a plane.
I know. Aren't they amazing? Parachuting with a dog. Man. That's just crazy stuff. But obviously the dogs get used to it. But
you'd hope. Yes. Not that the dog's going to have much to say in it. You
know. No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, these are some cool shots.
Yeah. And there's one of the bunch of Navy guys with their rifles forming an arch of honor on a runway with a plane flying bare meters over their heads.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
That's very cool.
So anyway, yeah. It's
but the one above that with the FA-18 or whatever is about to smash.
I know.
The guy in the frame in the parachute.
Yeah.
Ejecting out.
The plane is only, 3 meters from impact on the ground, nose first. And as you say, the pilot has only just ejected, so there's not much chance that chute's going to open in time to really.
Have you seen the funny shot of the plane on the helicopter propeller blade?
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool.
Oh, you gotta love it when that sort of stuff happens.
Yeah. So thank you for that link, Adam. There's some great images in there.
Man, it's getting good to hate these talented folk, don't you?
That's it. So what else did you have?
I'll stop looking at those pretty pictures.
Laws about photographing police.
Yeah, so I was reading that in Colorado,
what website did this come from, Glenn?
DP Review or D Preview.
D Preview, yeah.
D Preview, yeah. Those guys. Digital Preview magazine. So Colorado is proposing a bill supporting photographers who photograph police doing their job.
Right.
So if there's a civil disturbance or whatever and there's a riot, police show up to try and quell the crowd.
Yeah.
Well, they're writing laws saying that it's okay for you, Joe Blow photographer, to photograph them quelling the crowd.
Nice.
Whereas in the past, the police will often come up and stop photographers from doing that. Well, they're actually writing a bill to make it legal.
Awesome.
At the same time, Texas are doing a similar thing, but only within a certain distance. If you're within, I think it's like 25 yards, you're not allowed to. but where this comes in really, really pertinent timing was this week. I don't know if you saw the video of this police shooting in America.
No.
Where this policeman shot an unarmed black youth running away in the back 5 times.
Oh, what?
And he claimed the guy had stolen his taser and was going to get him or something. But the video actually showed this guy running away and being shot from behind. So the cops up for murder.
Yeah, right.
Once again, this rights of photographers doing their jobs and so on. It's interesting
to see whether that one gets through.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Texas, allowing it, but not within probably distance where you can actually see anything. You know what I mean?
I think if there's a police officer exercising his duties as an officer of the law, you probably don't want to be within 25 yards because if you are, you're probably the perp he's after.
Yeah, well, you'll make his mind up that you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Another thing I came across is Sony this last week or so have sold half of Olympus.
Wow.
To JP Morgan.
What?
Yeah.
What on earth would a finance company want with a camera company?
It's just an investment. Obviously, it's just
just
an investment. But that's interesting. I mean, they spent all that money to buy into the company, and then there was all that fraud problems that they had. And it's interesting. They sold half of their shares for the same price they bought the whole company for 5 years ago, whatever it was they did it.
Right.
So they've done okay out of that. I mean, they haven't, sort of doubled their investment.
Yeah, right.
Short period of time. But one of the reasons Sony bought into Olympus in the first place is to try and get their sensors into Olympus's medical gear.
Sorry, what's Olympus's medical range?
Olympus do a lot of endoscopic stuff. And I mean, that's when Olympus... I think 75% of their sales and profit come from the medical wing.
Right.
And only 12% comes from cameras.
Yeah, right.
And the cameras are losing money.
Right.
The other side's making money. Yeah. So Sony wanted to get in there to get their product inside Olympus's medical stuff.
Right. So do you know who Olympus are using as a source for their sensors now?
Well, I'm sure it seems that Sony still own half of them. I'm sure it would be them still.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they have been for years.
Okay.
They bought them 5 or 6 years ago, whatever it was. So the last 5 or 6 years of Olympus cameras have all been Sony sensors.
Yeah, right.
Look, Nikons are all Sony. I mean, there's nothing unusual in all that.
Yeah, no.
So a lot of that sort of stuff goes on. And then they also bought them to get access to their lens knowledge to put into the Sony line.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what the article says. Now, last year, after the Sundance Festival, somebody was at the Sundance Festival doing, I don't think it was tintype, but some old photo process of all the celebrities there.
Right.
And we talked about it and we put the link up and etc. Well, this year there's a woman there doing tin-type photos.
Yeah, right.
And the photos are fabulous.
Ah, great. I'm just flicking through some of them now.
Look at some of those.
Yeah.
Really interesting stuff.
Jeez, I haven't seen William H. Macy for so long. He's aged but really well. He's got a really good face on him.
Even the Kevin Bacon looks good.
I haven't got to Kevin
Bacon. He was number two.
Oh, was he? Oh, okay. I missed him. Okay.
Who's number two?
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Geez, that must have been only just before he died.
Well, when was Sunday? Or afterwards. Could have been,
Well, that's what I mean.
Is he looking in the shot?
Well, he's not looking like it's Weekend at Bernie's, put it that way.
Well, some of these shots, the olden days, he used to photograph.
Well, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Julian.
Oh, look at Maggie Gyllenhaal. She looks like she was photographed in 1860.
What? I haven't even got these photographs. Where's these photos coming from?
Oh, on Esquire.com.
No, on Petapixel.
Oh, well, you're looking at a different collection.
I am. Look at the ones I'm talking about. What you might be looking at last year's ones.
Oh, that Petapixel. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Well, thank you. Linking on to there.
Maybe I am looking at last year's. Who knows?
That rings a bell. Seymour Hoffman.
Redford. Ah, there you go. Kevin Bacon, number two.
Number two. Well, I've always thought of Kevin Bacon as number two.
These are a totally different set of images.
You're going to have to put the link up there for the other ones.
I'll put up the other set because they'll
send it to me because I want to look at it too. I think I've got a feeling it might have been last year's ones. Okay. I like the one of Ewan McGregor.
Yes.
It's very interesting.
He always photographs well, though. He's a good looking guy.
He's an interesting face.
Yeah. Nick Nolte. How good does Nick Nolte look?
Yeah. Hugo Weaving looks interesting too. He's a couple. Yeah. My favorite one is the guy called Vincent Cassel.
Did I just see his name?
Yeah, he's above Nick.
Yep.
Just look at the texture in the hair and the detail. Just astounding.
Cool.
And Slash looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always an interesting character.
He is. I mean, he'd be a great character to shoot.
Yeah.
Ethan Hawke.
Yep.
Well, then, so some, and Kevin Smith doesn't look too fat. Yeah, which is, a little surprising.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if he's because he's going back into the movies again, so maybe he's slimming down for that.
Right,
because he of the controversy of the being kicked off a plane for being too fat.
Oh, okay, right.
A couple of years ago, and then he went berserk. So these are okay. So it's the same photographer.
Yep.
Maybe it's just a bigger range of photographs.
Yeah.
Oh my! I've got
this. I know there's heaps there though, but anyway. We'll put those links in the show notes for anyone that wants to go and check them out. There's some great stuff there.
Okay, that's Sundance 2014. I don't know. My computer's all gone to pop now. The screen. I've got the spinning rainbow of death.
Right.
That was just wasn't, you know, because you're using the PC. What's the equivalent of the PC when everything sort of freezes and just spins for a while?
It's like a little blue circle that sort of spins around like a radar scope.
Yeah, that's
like a radar sweep.
That's because it's rainbow. Fabulous.
Yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, phase one of the world famous mega backs for mega expensive cameras have made a camera for drones.
Oh, cool.
It's the world's, it's an 80 megapixel drone camera. It's the smallest medium format camera ever made.
It looks fairly compact in the photograph.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. With a disproportionately large price tag, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a bit of a given, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a pretty cool little, if you wanted some seriously high-res images out of your drone stuff.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You'd want to be a very experienced drone pilot.
Oh, gosh.
To be slinging that kind of hardware underneath your drone.
Serious insurance.
You wouldn't want to be still learning.
Another thing, I came across a camera called Mint.
Right.
M-I-N-T.
Yeah.
And it's a twin lens reflex camera.
What? Oh, I hate music on websites. That is my pet hate.
It's an auto-run video.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh. Bloody, shut up.
Showing how the father told the son he'd never amount to anything and go do something good. And he said, no, so, I must do this. And
so tell me about the camera.
So it's a twin lens reflex camera.
Right.
But it's an instant, it uses a Polaroid instant film.
Okay. So what's the, how does a twin lens reflex camera work?
Well, it's got twin lenses, Bruce. It's a reflex.
This one goes to 11.
This one goes to 11. You know, like the old Rolleiflexes that you look down into the prism and look straight. So one lens you look through, one lens does the shooting.
Oh, okay.
Lens bit. Right. But it's a classic style of shooting.
Yeah.
But they made it into an instant camera.
Right.
And I've got to tell you, it looks awesomely cool. I've got to film the photos would be horrible, but it looks awesomely cool. Yeah. It's like $370 or something.
Okay.
But what interests me is it's got four apertures, like 5.6, f/16, f/22, and bokeh. It's got a special bokeh mode.
Right.
Where all you have is like flowers, a bunch of flowers, all got lovely bokeh. No, bokeh, where it changes the shape of the aperture blades to get this really a pleasing out-of-focus background blur.
Oh, okay.
It's a special mode just for that.
Right.
Which I can't think of any camera
that does that.
Has ever had that.
No.
So that's kind of cool.
Is there a sample image where we can see said bokeh?
Funnily enough, no.
Right. So it's a product that's still in development.
No, you can actually well, you can actually order it.
Right.
That's how you're actually going to get delivery of said product. You can order it.
Excellent. And then
the very last thing, Photo Jojo came out with a single-use app.
A single-use app?
Yeah. So what, you buy this
use
app,
it once,
$12.99.
And then it erases itself from your phone.
You buy it for $12.99.
Right.
It's a camera app.
Yeah.
It's got 27 photos in it, which you shoot, and it doesn't show you a preview.
Oh,
and at the end of the 27, it uploads automatically to their servers, prints it, and it arrives on your door a couple of days later, print it out.
People are just taking this whole retro thing a little bit too far.
$12.99 for the pleasure of not seeing what your photos are going to be like and possibly getting a bunch of garbage.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
How funny is that, though? It's very, very funny.
Was this an April Fool's joke?
I wouldn't think they got that much effort.
Oh, I don't know about that.
A fair amount of effort. They've got a full-on video, dude.
Yeah. It's only 1 minute and 6 seconds.
I wonder.
I wonder.
No. Oh, I wonder.
That'd spoil it, wouldn't it?
Because, see, the people who did Hipstamatic a few years ago came out with a similar thing, but you could see the photo. No, you couldn't see the photos.
Mm.
There was no preview, but at the end of the film, it developed itself and then you got to see them all.
Right.
On the camera, on your phone.
Okay.
So you could actually get to see them.
Right.
But I'd say it was actually a really good trap, a really good app. The picture quality was astounding out of it.
Yeah, right.
And I've always found that of all the iPhone apps I've ever had, sharpness you get out of Hipstamatic photos is beyond anything else I've ever seen.
Right. But it's still just using the iPhone camera.
That disposable camera came out on April the 6th.
Okay. All right.
So
it's only 3 days ago.
Yeah, but it's 5 days after April 1st.
Yeah, fair enough.
So it's not. Yeah.
How bizarre.
I know. But they should have brought it out April the 1st. That's kind of funny. I didn't have any photo ones this year around.
The trouble is if they had released it on April 1st, everybody would have just gone, hey, that's an April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
No one would have bought it.
Yeah. So that's it for me for the week, my friend. I've done bugger all research, and lucky I haven't managed to do this much.
Matey, I'm up for a short night anyway. So,
yeah, you got the horrible man flu coming.
Oh, don't tell me that. I don't need that.
School holidays finished today. Well, I've got workshops next 2 days. So today was my last day of school holiday duties. So I'm off the hook. So next week I'll have.
That's right. Your kids are all a week out of sync with us.
Are they?
Yeah, as in they go off for Easter a week early, and then go back to school a week earlier. So Max has still got another week.
Cool.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
Last Saturday, we were meant to have an eclipse.
We did, in fact, have an eclipse.
Well, I guess we had the eclipse. It's just that for some of us, it was completely obscured by clouds and rain.
Pink Floyd.
Yes, that's exactly right. Mm. Glad you picked up on the reference there.
Yeah,
okay. So David Kembry and I were going to get together and shoot the eclipse from down at Terrigal. But the rain...
I saw the photos you took, actually. You took some good shots.
Oh, thank you, mate.
Even considering the subject matter.
Yeah. Oh, subject matter was crap. No argument there. Right. Selfies. But yeah, so it was just absolutely... It had been raining solid for 36 hours and just showed no signs of letting up and certainly not a hope in hell of getting a break in the clouds to actually see the eclipse. So we just went, stuff it. And I knew of this tunnel. And the tunnel that we shot in is actually inside a national park, but only by about 100 meters from the gate. And because it was late at night, the gate, you know, was shut. The national park was closed to the public. So we just parked our cars at the gate, climbed over the gate, walked down. And this is a road tunnel, so it's a bitumen road running through the tunnel. But we knew, okay, well, we're good. We're not going to get run over because it's closed. So we can just do whatever we like in this tunnel and we're out of the rain. And, yeah, so we just threw up a couple of flashes and some coloured gels and mucked around with some off-camera flash stuff.
Good job. Yeah, I thought you did well. I thought it was good on you to – I meant to say that. Good on you for getting out and and doing it.
Yeah, it was good. And David brought along a female friend of his, Carly, who is also into photography. She does wedding photography. So the three of us just got out there and had some fun for the night.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Could only fetch you doing it though. I mean, if you're not seeing us raining, let's not bother.
Yeah,
actually getting out there and doing it. And happens? Did you have fun?
Yeah, we did. Had a ball.
That's what it's all about.
Had a ball.
I went and saw a concert last night. I was well enough to get. Well, I booked the tickets.
Oh, you went to the Counting Crows.
Went to see the Counting Crows.
Were they good?
Well, they were awesome. They were fabulous. But what I found is I've been having a time. I think about it this week. I think they're unlike any other band that's been going for as long as they have. I mean, they've been going out, you know, 25 years, give or take.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. When was August band, and everything after? That would have been
1993.
93, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if any band has been going that length of time, like 20 plus years, that when that tour a new album, that album is strong enough musically that they play 2/3 of it live during the show. Yeah, most. I don't know many new bands have been going for 20 years are still putting out decent material.
Yeah,
they're just going their greatest hits tours, effectively.
Right.
So they've been together for 20 plus years. They don't sing their biggest song.
Right.
And they play 2/3 of all new material. From the latest album.
Okay.
I just don't know. I don't know any band who'd be able to get away with that.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, Springsteen plays a lot of his new material on each tour, but with Springsteen, it tends to be early in the tour, the show is very heavily weighted to the new material, and then the further they get through the tour, more of the new stuff drops off and it becomes more of a hits tour towards the end of the tour. U2, would they? I'd have thought
they'd do a couple of songs.
Yeah.
But once again, but we're also talking about a band that's that can actually put out quality material. You two don't put out quality material.
Jesus, that's harsh.
Have you listened to the last album?
Yeah. I didn't mind it. I mean,
it was a reason it was free.
It ain't no Achtung Baby, but it wasn't awful.
It was a reason it was free.
Rolling Stones would just be greatest hits tour.
You can't. None of these long, your Kisses, your AC/DCs. Yeah. They might get away with one or two songs.
Yeah.
Maybe. AC/DC can because Kiss couldn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like Van Halen, they'd have to, can only sing the old stuff.
Yeah.
And badly at that, from what I've heard. It's just interesting. There's not many, and the new album's probably the second best album they've ever recorded. So once again, still to be putting out.
Yeah,
strong stuff. Yeah, 20-odd years down the track. So it was a good night. It was a good show. We were nice and close, which always kind of helps them get in the mood.
I was just about to ask, where did they play?
The place called the Palais.
Yep, St Kilda,
which is an awesome little venue.
Yeah,
it's intimate.
What's the capacity of that? Probably 800.
It's probably about 5,000.
Oh, is it that big?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right, bigger than I realized. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a really decent sized venue.
Yeah, cool.
4,500, 5,000, I'd imagine. But that was good. So that was
excellent. Anyway.
And that's the reason I raised it. I knew I raised it for a reason.
Yeah.
So I was in row N, so however, you know, how many people are in front of us.
14, yeah.
For the entire night, I think I recall seeing 3 phones.
Wow.
Not a single iPad. Wow. Not a single flash go off.
Yeah, right.
And this is a band who encourage you to record them.
Yeah, right.
Audio record them, video record them, and put them out everywhere you damn well want to.
Yeah, right.
So they actually encourage you to record stuff, but not everyone just sat back and enjoyed.
Yeah, nice.
They didn't bother having their phones up to their heads the entire time, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the reason I raised it, was the lack of photography. I took one photo at the very end. No, I lie. I took a couple of the roof before the show started.
Right.
I took a pano from outside the front, which I've got to say I was pretty sickeningly proud of.
Okay.
Because it was a bloody iPhone.
Right.
And, yeah, just, you know, I could never have done a photo like that with a real camera. let me just click on that, click on this, click on that, copy that, paste. There we are. So have a look at that link I just sent through to you. That's me pano.
Oh, nice. And you shot that on an iPhone.
Oh, no, doesn't that suck?
That's cool.
No,
so that's just push one button, sweep the camera around, yeah. Push the button again.
Yeah. Disgraceful.
Would have been nice if you could have just dropped the exposure by about a half a stop.
Yeah, but you don't have much say in these things.
No, I know.
Yeah, plus, you want to see the building that says Palais Theatre, and if you darken it too much, you'd lose it. It'd be nice to selectively darken areas.
Yeah,
which I could do if I'd really bothered. I could have done that too. But yeah,
that's cool.
Just sickened me enough that it was an iPhone shot in its case as it was. So, and then people go, oh, I love your photography. Oh, yeah, but
Now, before I wrap up, there is a couple of emails that came in that I almost forgot to include, and I've already said goodbye to Glyn. I'm just cutting this into the tail end of the podcast. I got an email from Carl Hemmings after I mentioned on Facebook that I was organising, along with David Kembry and whoever else wants to join us, that we might head out to the Warrumbungles National Park in near Coonabarabran mid-May to shoot the Milky Way. Carl sent me an email saying, hey guys, this is the best app for planning to shoot or find the Milky Way, the sun, the moon, etc. It takes a bit of time to get the gist of it, i.e. follow the tutorials, but once mastered, you could easily plan a full moon rising behind the Opera House if it's astrologically possible, I mean. I just got to have the time and energy to use it. And the app is called Photo Pills, and their website is photopills.com. Unfortunately, it's iOS only, Carl. So it's fine for those people who use iOS devices, but it's of no value to me. But thank you for the link. I'm sure there are other people who are interested in doing astrophotography. And if you're an iOS user, then check it out, photopills.com. It looks very similar to the Photographer's Ephemeris. And the Photographer's Ephemeris is available on both iOS and Android. But the Photographer's Ephemeris doesn't do celestial bodies other than the sun and the moon, at least as best as I can tell. But anyway, thank you for the link. And we also heard from Rob Coates this week, and it should have twigged to me at the time that I mentioned you, Rob, earlier in the episode. It should have twigged to me that I got this email from you, but it didn't. Anyway, Rob said, thanks for the reply on the Facebook wall. I must admit that when I went to the Shutters Inc. website and saw your comment that Glyn was too crook to podcast, I assumed that meant there wasn't a podcast and I was too eager to post my smart-ass comment on Facebook to look further down. However, I've just listened to the podcast and it was a ripper, even without any dad jokes. A few observations. Thanks for the section on bit depth and its relationship to the histogram. It's always been one of those arcane areas of photography that I've not taken the trouble to try to understand. But having a bit of maths knowledge and a tiny bit of binary code knowledge, your explanation now makes it understandable. Re the undeveloped film from the 80s, I have a Pentax SP1000. Last used during a trip to Darwin in 2002. It was shortly after that trip that I got my first digital camera, and there's still a half-used film in the Pentax. Your story has inspired me to get it out, use the remaining film, and get it developed. Lastly, your sad comment about not having many photos from your childhood reminded me how lucky I was to have a happy and stable family, and fortunately, I have the photos to prove it. Keep up the good work with the podcast. It's very much appreciated. Regards, Rob Coates, Perth. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that.
Anyway. That's it, mate, my friend. Lovely to chat with you.
You too. Have a good week. And
look after yourself. I hope you're not getting unwell.
Yeah, so do I. And hopefully you're back to 100% next week.
Oh, geez, there'll be a first in 25 years. Yeah. I'll be happy to do the low 70s, don't
I? Right, okay. All right, mate.
Bye, everybody.
Talk to you then. See ya.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email the boys at shuttersincpodcast.com.